Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 in Luke chapter 5. The title of today's sermon is Simple Obedience Brings Great Reward. Simple obedience brings great reward. And now you might be asking yourself, well, Pastor, didn't we just talk about obedience last week? Why are you talking about obedience again? Well, you know, if God tells you something, you just do what he tells you, amen? And so there must be someone here, maybe it's me, that needs to hear about this obedience thing again. And so I'm going to share it with you again. But just to get you up to speed, last week we talked about Noah's obedience and when he built the ark. Talk about an act of obedience. And so Noah was building this ark. It was one of the most difficult tasks that mankind had ever embarked on. One of the most difficult tasks. That's what Noah was called to do. The Lord told him the dimensions to build this ark. He said, how big was that thing? 300 cubits, right? 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Noah didn't complain one bit about that. And some we heard that even he may have had to plant the trees before he even cut them down to build the ark. Some of the tradition tells us. What a big ark. But then not only that, once he had it built, he had to do something with these animals, didn't he? He had to corral them in there. But you know what? He didn't complain about that either. When God told Noah to build the ark in Genesis chapter 6, 22, here's what the scripture said. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. See, there was no question. God told him to do it, and he did what? He did it. Amen. That's right. And so, if we think about that, this was the longest act of obedience ever accomplished, ever recorded in Scripture. 43,800 plus days of obedience Noah had as he was doing this project for the Lord. That's over 120 years. That's a long time, longer than any of us have ever even been alive. And because of this act of obedience, because he listened to what God told him to do, what that did for us is he saved all of mankind. He saved the world. He renewed mankind. And because of his simple act of obedience, of listening to what God told him to do, what happened? All of us ended up being blessed. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that next time God's word tells you to do something. Next time the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Think about that when you disobey or when you obey, you are impacting other people besides just yourself. Interesting way to think about it, isn't it? So as I share with out of the scripture today, as I share my heart with you today and what God's laid on my heart, I want you to think about these couple of things. What is God calling me to do? Am I being faithful to do what God's calling me to do? Answer this question for yourself. Do I follow God's commandments? Do I apply it to my heart? When I read something in the Bible, do I just read it and fill my head? Or do I actually try to live it out? Think about those things as we read this scripture today about a simple act of obedience that changed lots of people's lives. Luke chapter 5 verse 1 says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. So then he got into one of the boats, he meaning Jesus, which was Simon's, and he asked them to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, said, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was at the breaking point. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled with both boats so that they almost began to sink. Now when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they had brought their boats to the land, and they forsook all, and they followed him. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together and worship you here today. God, as we come to you in prayer, we have so many prayer requests today. So many things on our heart. Please, Lord, help Brother Shannon continue to recover from his heart attack on Wednesday. Lord, please help Sister Jessica, Connie's friend, who's fighting this lupus. Lord, please help Sister Joyce's sister and brother who are battling with serious health issues. And surround Ronnie's Aunt Judy with your love as she too battles for her health, Lord. God, we pray for Pastor Ken up in Alaska, Lord, who has stage 4 prostate cancer. And it's spread all the way to his sternum and his spine, Lord. God, we pray for him. We pray for Thomas's co-workers, Lord, who have lost loved ones and who are battling dizzy spells. Lord, we lift up Sister Connie as she's hospitalized. And we lift up Brother Gary and Brother Ron, both who are battling all these health problems, Lord, and the doctors and nurses just can't get to the bottom of. Lord, help us. God, as we live for you today and every day, Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would help us to be obedient to your word and to do what the Holy Spirit calls us to do. And lastly, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, please let today be the day where they will accept you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us today and every day. We love you, Lord. Amen. The scripture we read today gives us a beautiful picture of what Jesus' ministry is like. Gives us a beautiful picture of what Jesus' ministry is like. You see, God would use the smallest things, the little things, the things in life that every one of us deal with to get our attention. And in the scripture we had today, he uses a boat. Now, like a little toy boat, just kind of like this one, if you see. How many people remember playing with toy boats when you were kids? Yeah, toy boats were great. You used to play with these things. When you look at this boat, it might remind you of a time where you're a little boy or a little girl and you were playing with it in a bathtub, you know, making those great boat sounds, you know, having a good time, right? Maybe this boat reminds you as an adult, maybe as an adult male, when you told your wife, you said, "Honey, I know the boat's in a little disrepair, but I can fix it up and someday it'll be seaworthy. Dear, we got to buy this boat." Maybe that's what it reminds you of. Maybe this little boat reminds you of a time you went out with your family or your friends. You went skiing and tubing and camping, and it was a great time. Maybe this boat reminds you of a time you went out fishing with one of your friends, and you caught the biggest fish ever, right? It was somewhere between this and this size, depending on whoever you were telling. But this little boat, today I'm going to give every single person in the congregation a little boat. Everyone a little boat. I have plenty of them, 144. And I'm going to give you this little boat for the reason that I want you to think of, obedience. Because it was a boat that was similar to this, that Jesus taught a great lesson of obedience to his friend Peter, who became one of the disciples. So anyway, this little boat, whether it goes on your counter at home, or whether it goes in your trash can or in your tub for one of your kids or grandkids, I hope it'll remind you of the obedience that we're to have to the Lord today. So, in our scripture today, we got Jesus. He's walking about. He's doing his thing. And crowds start gathering around him. People start gathering around him. And they're trying to hear him. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd before, but when you have a bunch of people in a crowd, especially if you wear a hearing aid, it is really hard to hear what is going on. And so, it can be really frustrating. And so, rather than all those people being crowded around Jesus and causing trouble, Jesus said, "I've got to do something. I've got to get away so that I can actually teach these people." And so, that's where our scripture starts today. The Lord uses Peter's boat as a floating platform, as a way to be able to preach and to be able to share with everybody so they can see and hear them. Look back at these verses 1-3, if you would. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he," meaning Jesus, "got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat." You see, the fishermen were tired. They had been out fishing all day. They had been out working hard all day. And they were tired. They were already had their boats in, their nets were being cleaned out, they were getting ready for the next day. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes up, and he steps into Simon Peter's boat, and he asks that Simon Peter would take him out a little ways so that he could preach to the people. Now, this may not seem like a big task. This may not seem like a big thing that Peter was doing to be obedient. But what happened was Peter had a couple of choices there. He could have said yes, or he could have said no. Or maybe like us, he might have complained a little bit. Peter could have said, listen, Jesus, when I finish cleaning up my net, then I'll go out there and I'll get in the boat and I'll push myself out. How many times have we done things like that to the Lord? Or, you know, he could have said, Jesus, I'm busy. There's the oars are in the boat. Just take it. Go do what you need to do. I'm going to finish cleaning out my net. Or he could have said, you know what, Jesus? Why are you in my boat? That boat over there works just fine. That guy's not doing anything. He hadn't caught anything all day either. Why don't you take his boat? But Peter didn't do any of that, did he? Peter said, okay, if you want me to take you out in the boat, I'll drop what I'm doing. No, he didn't say that, but he decided he would stop what he was doing and he would go out there and he would take him out into the sea. Not a big request, but by following that little request, it was going to lead to many blessings in many people's lives, including his own. Little request. You know, it's the little things in life that cause us the most trouble or give us the greatest feelings. Think about the last argument you got into with your spouse, your family member, your friend, your loved one. Was it about a little thing or was it about a big thing? It's probably about a little thing. And then as you argued more and more, it turned into a big thing. The little things in life are also what make memories the most precious. You know, how do you show a person you love them? Sure, you could buy them extravagant gifts like a car or a house or a boat or a motorcycle or a nice clothes set or something like that. Take them on a great trip. But you know what? Sooner or later, those things are going to break down. They're going to rust. You're going to have to repair them and the people are going to forget about them. The way you show somebody you love them is by the little things you do every single day of your life. By like telling them how much you appreciate them. By showing them they're important to you. By listening to what they have to say. By picking them up a soda or a candy bar or a bag of chips when you go into the gas station to get one for yourself. Those are the ways that we show people we love them. It's the little ways. And when you think about obedience to God, if we can't be obedient to God in the little things, how are we going to be obedient to God in the big things? So back to the story with Jesus and Peter in this boat. So who now is blessed because of what Peter did for Jesus? Who gets blessed because of that?
We do.
We do, yeah, absolutely, because we get to read about it in Scripture. You're right. And there at that time, the people that were blessed were the crowd, the noisy crowd. So now those people that couldn't hear, those people that couldn't see Jesus, now he was away a little bit on this boat, and now he could share the message with the people so that they could see it and so that they could understand it. You know, many people think that ministry has to be done in four walls, like a church or a building. But some of our greatest ministry is outside in different areas. Who would have thought a great ministry place would have been at a campground where we met Brother Creed? And soon after that, he gave his life to the Lord and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Who would have thought a great ministry background would have been Opie Lake, where we went out there and we shared a message and Ronnie and Connie were baptized? Who would have thought a great ministry place to go would have been Opie Down Home Days, when we met a precious lady, Kathy, who started to come to our church just from us witnessing to her? You see, so often we think that the ministry work has to be done in these four walls. But that's just not true. Jesus' ministry was anywhere there were people were. If there were people out there, Jesus was there ministering to them. And we should learn from that too. So let's see what happens in Scripture after Peter's obedient. Verses 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. So you see Simon Peter, he's giving a little pushback here. He's saying, Jesus, you may be a great teacher. You might be a carpenter, but you're not a fisherman. We've been fishing all day. We've been fishing all night. We put down our nets. We haven't caught anything. And now you want us to put down our nets? Says, well, okay. Look at verse 5. It says, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. How many times has God told you to do something that seemed outlandish? Told you to do something just doesn't seem to make sense. Or maybe something that you've already done over and over again with no results, kind of like this fishing. He's told us to do stuff like that before. Many times, God uses those situations to test our faith. Think about Peter. Another time Peter was tested. He was out on a boat. There was a crazy storm. And Jesus says, come to me. People can't even swim in a storm like this. There are huge waves. There's crazy wind. There's lightning. I mean, and everybody knows you can't walk on water anyway. And so here Jesus says, well, come to me. And what does Peter do? He listens and he steps out of the boat and he walks to him on faith. It's the simple acts of obedience, the simple things that God calls us that lead to the great and the big things. And so at this point in time, Peter was out all day. He didn't catch anything. And Jesus says, you should put your nets down. Peter's like, Lord, I've been out fishing all day. It hasn't brought us in anything. But nevertheless, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. He follows that simple act of obedience. Look what happens in verse 6. And when they had let down their nets, as Jesus said, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came, filled both boats, so that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What a blessing. Simon Peter didn't even think it was possible to catch one fish. But yet they pulled up these nets and caught so many fish that it almost sank two boats. Evan was helping us on a project yesterday. And he decided he was going to go fishing. Anybody know how windy it was yesterday? It was ridiculously windy. There were waves on this little pond that Evan's fishing in. And I'm like, Evan, man, you're not going to catch anything out there. Look at how windy it is outside. And he's like, oh, it doesn't matter. And so we're just kind of laughing like, what a goofball, you know. But Evan goes out there. He casts his line. Within about 10 minutes, he brings back a bass this big. And I'm not kidding. I even have a picture of it. He comes back and he's like, I thought I had something stuck. But look at this big fish. We're like, are you kidding me? There's waves on a pond like this. And this kid catches a giant bass. So, you know, you just do the simple things in life. And who knows what the rewards will be. And so Peter lays down these nets. He pulls them up. There's all these fish. And he's blessed. And all these other people are blessed. Why? Because he's obedient. You know, I believe in my heart that God wants to bless us beyond anything that we can handle. I don't believe in the health, wealth, and happiness gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that if you pray enough, if you're close enough to the Lord, you'll be millionaires and you won't have any sickness and you won't have any pain. No, we got to deal with the things this world throws at us. We have to deal with those things. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. What I'm saying is God wants to bless you in other ways. He wants to, it may be materialistically, but most likely it's with friends or health or better your relationships. Who knows? But he wants to do all these great things for us. But he can't do them because we won't be obedient. We won't be obedient in the small things God calls us to do. It's funny how we can listen to the big things God tells us to do, but the little things, the small things, are what we have trouble with. You see, James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, there's no middle ground here. People say, well, there's a lot of gray area in the Bible. I don't agree with that. I disagree. The Bible's pretty clear to me. It's either do this or don't do this. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, there's no gray area. You need to do what God is calling you to do. If the Bible tells you to do something, to change something, to move in a different direction, there's no gray area. That's what God's Word says. That's what we need to do. But so many oftentimes we bring up excuses. We say, well, that section of the Bible must have been for these kind of people. This section of the Bible must have been for them people. But it surely wasn't for me. You could justify whatever you want, but I believe every word in this book. is written by the inspiration of God, and it's used to be able to teach, to be able to rebuke, and to be able to correct. And you know what? I need teaching. I need rebuking. And I need correcting. But if I'm not going to follow this book, if I'm not going to be obedient to God, how is He going to bless me? But so often, we want to live in a way that's disobedient. You know, blessings brings obedience. The Bible says that God loves those, or the way that we show God we love Him is by keeping His commandments. But you know, disobedience in the Bible we see brings curse. We see it brings famine. We know it separates us from God. So how come so many times in our life we want to be disobedient to God, but we expect Him to bless us? That's absurd. You can't be disobedient to what God is calling you to do and expect Him to bless you. Disobedience separates us from God. That's what happens. You can't be blessed and disobedient at the same time. So here, Peter, he's listening to God. He lays down the nets. He catches up the big fish. He's super happy now. It looks like everything is good for him, right? Listen to verse 9. He's not the only one that blessed, but other people are blessed because of his obedience too. It says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him." Saying yes to Jesus' request, being obedient to him, resulted in a miracle that not only helped those fishermen, but also changed people's lives. They were now to become fishers of men. What an absolute blessing. So I ask you today, what is God wanting to do in your life? What is He wanting to do that He's just waiting for you to start being obedient? What changes does He make? What blessings does He want to bring about? But He can't because you continue to sin. You continue to do what God doesn't want you to do. What is He waiting for? We make being disobedient so easy, but being obedient so difficult, don't we? I'll tell you what. Let me just show you in a little illustration. Here I have a bottle of water, right? Just your average bottle of water. And I have a ketchup packet out in my drawer. It happens to be from Sonic. So I have a bottle of water and a ketchup packet. How many of you think I can make this ketchup packet be obedient to me? You don't think so? How many think I can make this ketchup packet be obedient to me? See? So you hold your bottle of water, you got your ketchup packet, and you say, "Mr. Ketchup Packet," and you gotta be nice to it. People don't like when you yell. See, if I'm like, "Mr. Ketchup Packet, you need to go down," it doesn't listen. Not even if you shake him, he doesn't listen. It's a little disobedient ketchup packet. But now if you ask him like this, "Mr. Ketchup Packet, please go down. Would you please go down, Mr. Ketchup Packet?" "Oh, thank you, Mr. Ketchup Packet. So nice. Look, he stays there. What a nice guy. Like, Mr. Ketchup Packet, would you come up now, please? Please, Mr. Ketchup Packet. Oh, good job. Go on up, up, up. Great. See? He listens. He's nice. Maybe we can even get him to stay in the middle. Mr. Ketchup Packet, come on, buddy. Can you go in the middle? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There he goes. Stay right there. Hey, look at that. He stays right there. Hey, no, don't go up. Come on. Come on. Go back down. See, he's a little disobedient. Come on, buddy. Come down. Come down. Come down. Come down. Ah, good job. Now, I want you to go up really fast. Go on, really fast. Oh, see? You can even get a ketchup packet to obey you. I mean, come on, Alyssa, give it a try. Give it a try. Tell Mr. Ketchup Packet what to do. See if he listens to me. Come on. Come on, Mr. Ketchup Packet. You need to listen to Alyssa. Go down, don't you hear? He's not listening to you. Maybe you gotta shake. Sometimes he needs a good beating, you know what I'm saying? Mr. Ketchup Packet, she's talking to you. What did you tell him to do again?
To go down.
Go down! Maybe it's like Simon says. Maybe you have to say, "Mr. Ketchup Packet, go down." Try it out, Bill.
"Mr. Ketchup Packet, go down."
He doesn't listen. And that's kind of like us, right? God tells us all these different things. He's like, I want to do this for your benefit. I love you, Bill. Please listen to me. You need to do these great things. And we just don't listen. And so maybe he tries some other way. And we don't listen. So then maybe you've got to kind of get dropped on the ground a little bit. And then you tell him again, let's see, Mr. Ketchup Packet, it's time for you to go down. And then he goes down. Sometimes you got to be dropped on the ground to go through that stuff. But whether you go up, or whether you go down, or whether you stay somewhere in the middle, at some point in your life, you got to choose to be obedient or disobedient. If we can get a ketchup packet to obey a human being, why can't we get people to obey a perfect God? Think about that. Isn't that strange? Now, you know what I'm talking about. There's many times that God tells us to do things, but we just refuse to obey. I believe that God gave me this message about obedience a second time to share with you because there is someone in here that needs to hear that God loves you. I believe that the Holy Spirit is talking to people today. I believe that's why God gave me this sermon. I believe the Holy Spirit, maybe while I'm speaking these words, is reminding you of a promise that you might have made to God before. Maybe the Holy Spirit's reminding you of things that God wanted you to do. Maybe ways that God wants to help you or your family or change your entire life, but you just won't listen because you, like me and like that ketchup guy, are sometimes stubborn. Shannon and I were talking about how to get more teenagers to come to church one day. And she said, Alan, I know how to get more teenagers to come to youth group. I said, well, how? She said, what we need to do is just build a 12-foot fence around the church. We need to put signs everywhere that says, no teenagers allowed. And they'll be breaking down the fence trying to get in here because they want to do what they shouldn't be doing. Isn't that what we do too? You know, somebody says, don't touch the stove. And the first thing you do, oh, that does hurt. Mom and Dad are right. I mean, we always want to do what we're not supposed to do. And that's why the Lord has given us this message today. He's saying, don't do that. Don't get your hands burnt. Don't make me build this big fence around the church that says nobody's allowed so that everybody will try to get in. Just listen. And so maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you today. And if he is, don't blame me. I don't have the gift of conviction. That's something only God can do to you. But maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you, you got to stop that battle. Give up trying to take control. Maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you it's time for you to give in and to follow what God is telling you to do. It's time for you to be obedient. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you've had for years and years and years that is taking you away from your family. Maybe it's hurting your health. Maybe it's hurting all the people you love. But you just won't give it up. Why? What are you waiting for? Maybe God is calling you, telling you to start doing something. He put a thing in your mind years ago and you just haven't acted on it. Kind of like Jordan was sharing with us. But he said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to work on these books. I'm going to finish these things for the glory of God. And he started to be obedient. Look at the blessings that come. He shared with us last Sunday night. We can't hold on to these things any longer. We need to give up whatever is taking us away from God and start being obedient to the Lord. Start listening to God. Remember, obedience brings blessings for you, for your family, and for all those people that are around you. If you have a father or a mother in a home that accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it changes their life, but it also changes those children's lives. If you have a person and you're a worker and you go into your office and you've been saved, you bring a light into the workplace. You bring a joy into the workplace. You bring a happiness into the workplace that changes the lives of all those other people. Now, why do you want to be disobedient? The choice is really yours. You can be obedient to what God calls you to do, to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, to what the Bible tells you to do. And you can be blessed beyond all means. Or you can be disobedient. And you can be separated from God. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to be obedient to God, even when it's hard. I'm going to be obedient to God, even when it's tough. I'm going to be obedient to God even when it costs me something. Because I want to live for my Lord and Savior. We have some small children in the service with us today. Back in the old times, you used to have to change diapers with cloths. Anybody remember those days? Folks, poop diapers was a whole new problem. It was way worse. It wasn't just wipe the little tushy and throw the thing in the garbage. No. You had to clean those things. Who remembers when you had to clean them before? There was washing machines when you had to wash those things by hand. That's terrible. You know what? You wash those diapers. You clean that butt because you love that child. And God says, if you love me, you'll be obedient to me. If you love me, you'll make sacrifices for me. If you care about me, you'll listen to what I'm telling you. And so as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, it's up to you. If God is calling you to stop something, if he's calling you to start something, if there's some sin in your life that you're dealing with, that you need help with, you can sit there just like you have. You can be disobedient. Or you could be obedient and say, God, this thing has been tearing my life apart. God, you've been calling me to do this and I haven't listened to you. God, you've told me that this needs to be removed from me, and Lord, I don't want to hold on to it anymore. And you can be blessed. It's up to you. Choose what you'll do today. Will you be obedient or will you be disobedient? Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, God, with a grateful heart today, Lord. God, you're amazing, Lord. You love us so much, God, and all you want is the best for us, God. But we make it so hard. Why can't we just listen? Why can't I just listen? Lord, be patient with us. God, as we come before you today as a congregation, as we sing this hymn, How Long Has It Been, as we get ready to meet with you, I pray, God, that you would just take this few moments of silence to help examine us. Is there a sin in our life that's separating us from you today? Is there something we're doing, God, that doesn't bring you glory? God, if we have a sin in our life today and we need to ask for forgiveness, give us the strength to come. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today who says, I know this thing I'm doing is hurting me. I know it's been hurting my family and my friends and my job at work. God, help me. Maybe there's somebody here today who says, you know, Lord, I used to be so close to you, but I stopped doing my devotions in the morning. I stopped praying in the morning. And now my life is such a mess. God, help me to put you first again. Help me to be obedient to you. Maybe God is calling you to do something that you've never done before and you're scared. You know, Noah never built an ark before. Peter never walked on water before. But you know, when they trusted Jesus, great things happened. Maybe you just need to trust him a little more today. Whatever you have, whatever God is doing in your life today, if you need to come and pray or praise him, you're welcome to come at this time as we sing this song, How Long Has It Been, hymn 596.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
One more time, listen to these words.
How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and pray to the Lord up in heaven. How long since you knew that He'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew